Good morning, and welcome to According to the Scriptures. My name is Kyle Webb. I serve as the minister for the Mars Hill Church of Christ that meets in Christiana, Tennessee. Thank you for joining our program today. Today's program is going to begin what I plan to be a year-long series that will go throughout the year 2017. We are beginning a new reading program within the Mars Hill congregation. Something that we have been doing for some time is placing a daily Bible reading schedule in our bulletin. And starting on January the 1st, we are going to begin a new study of the Bible in chronological order. It's a study that I'm looking forward to, and I hope that our congregation is looking forward to it as well. And I would like for you to join us as our listeners. Even if you're not a member of the Mars Hill congregation, I hope that you would embark on this study with us. In connection with that reading plan, I plan to do a lesson each week throughout the year of 2017 based upon what we have been reading. So whenever we read through a certain passage, you can plan on us having a lesson from it sometime in the near future. And that is my plan. Hopefully everything will go as I plan it to be. But anyway, all of this is Lord willing. But if you would like to join us, I would encourage you to do so. I think this would be an excellent opportunity to study God's Word with us. Today's lesson is going to be the introductory lesson for this series. Why should I study the Bible? We get caught up in life often. We get caught up in doing daily things here, there, taking care of the family, and whatever else needs to be done. But often, we neglect studying God's Word. And I'll admit that I myself have been guilty of this in the past. And that's something that I want to do better on in this coming year. As we look at our daily lives, there are so many things and so many reasons, really excuses, that we might give for not studying God's Word. It's too complicated. I just can't understand it. And, you know, it's not really that important to study God's Word. I know the basics of it, and that's enough. Just follow the red letters. You know, that will make all of our lives better. It's out of date. These things are things for people in the past. They don't apply to me anymore. I learn everything I need to know from the preacher. You know what? I just don't have the time to devote myself to studying God's Word. There are some religions that even teach that one needs an interpreter, a priest, a preacher of some kind, to explain the meaning of the Bible. It's just too far beyond the basic human mind. Today, in this lesson, I want to tell you why you should study God's Word. As we look at God's Word, as we look at the Bible, we see that His Word is infallible. It is complete. It is authoritative. It is all I need. It will accomplish all the things that He has promised. And probably the most important reason of all, God's Word is God's Word. It is His Word to us. And it is a great blessing, and we should see it as such. Before we really get into our lesson for today, please bow in a word of prayer with me. Our holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the privilege that we have of being able to study Your Word together. We pray that You would bless this study that we are beginning, and that you would bless us in our daily lives, that you would help us to see your word as the blessing that it is. Help us to desire it. Help us to hunger and thirst for it. Help us to love you more. Father, we thank you for your Son, the one that you gave to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for his sacrifice and for everything that it means to us. We ask all of this through him. Amen. As we look at why we should study God's Word, let's notice that God's Word is infallible. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, and we'll look at verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar." Every word of God is pure. It is undefiled. It is holy. It is righteous. It is everything that we need it to be. God's word is pure in its entirety, in the way that he has presented it to us. It doesn't need to be added to or taken away from, and we'll look at that in a moment. But every word of God is pure and just and holy, just as he is pure, just, and holy. It says that he is a shield to those who put their trust in him. When we put our trust in God's words, we are ready for anything that may stand against us. For anyone that may stand against us or against God or his word, he is strong to defend us, and he does so through his word. He is a shield to all of those that put their trust in him and in the things that he has said. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Always be ready to give a defense. How do we give a defense? We give a defense through the Word of God. Remember that he is our shield. He will protect us, and we are to use his word as the defense, as the answer to anything that people may throw against us or may throw against God. When someone asks us a reason for our hope, we know the reason because we know God's word. It is infallible. It does protect us. It does shield us whenever we need it to be our shield. The Word of God is complete. I want you to notice what is said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Galatians 1, beginning with verse 6, says this. Paul, again, is writing to the Galatians here. And he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." There are two different types of people here that could bring another gospel. And we are to be aware of them. Notice what he says here in verse 8. Even if we, namely the apostles were given the instructions from God to go to the world and to preach to the world what needs to be preached in regard to Christ and in regard to serving Him. They were told in Matthew chapter 16 that whatever they bound on earth would be bound in heaven, and whatever they loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven. And I believe that's who Paul is talking about here in verse 8 when he even refers to himself. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And he says again here for added emphasis and to really broaden the spectrum of anyone that is proclaiming the gospel here. In verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. I don't want to name names here, but I can think of different denominations that have different creed books, that have different things that they say are from God. But it's just not so. Because we are told here in Galatians chapter 1 that the Word of God is complete as it is given. No one is to proclaim any other gospel than what God has sent through His apostles. Then what God has given us in the Bible, in the form that we have it today, we have everything that we need to do the will of God. We do not need another gospel. We do not need anything else, any other revelation from God, because we've been given everything that we truly need in the Scriptures. Anyone who proclaims another gospel is to be accursed, as Paul states in Galatians chapter 1. When we look at the Word of God, we see that it is authority. Notice what is said in Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. What a statement. That everything that God has said has been settled from now through eternity. God's word is final. And being from Him, we are to take it as His final word. And we are to be obedient to Him and to what He has said. God's word is all I need for life and for eternity. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here we find that God's word is given through inspiration. It is given through the apostles and other men, but it is given by inspiration. Being given by inspiration, it is profitable for all things that we could possibly need it for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. If we as Christians are to be complete, then we need God's word to complete us. We need His Word to equip us for the battle, for the journey ahead, so that we can be ready at all times to stand firm in His Word and to stand in Him. James 1 and verses 21 through 25 says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." It goes on to say, But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. God's Word is all I need. It's all I need for life. It is all I need for eternity. It is everything that I need to live life on this earth in faithfulness to God. And it is everything that I need to know about accomplishing what God wants to accomplish in me, about doing everything that God wants me to do. It's everything that I need to know about what I need to do to save my soul. God's Word is everything to the Christian. We see that God's Word is accomplishing His will. Isaiah 55 and verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's Word is accomplishing His will even today. It is powerful. It is mighty. It is able to do everything that He wants it to do. We need to understand also that God's Word is His way of speaking to us. We know how we speak to God. We as Christians speak to God by faith in prayer, believing that God will answer our prayers, and He does. We are to seek His will. We are to ask, and we're told that it shall be given to us. But how does God speak to us? God speaks to us through His Word. Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7, and reading through verse 11. Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7, says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." God's Word to us is a wonderful blessing. And we need to understand the importance of Him speaking through it. He gives us what we need, again, for life and for everything. But we have to understand His Word to understand what He has given us. going back to Psalm 119. And if you want to have a greater appreciation for the Word of God, read the words of Psalm 119. There are so many things that are said there that are a great encouragement in taking the Word of God seriously. But in Psalm 119, going to verse 92, and reading through verse 96, it says, "Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad." And in verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word should mean everything to us. It is how God speaks to us. And so we should have a great respect for the things that He has given to us. It is His way of accomplishing His will. And it is accomplishing His will. And everything that He has promised for us, His word is accomplishing those things. His word is everything that we could possibly need as Christians, as people of God. It tells us everything that we need to know about doing His will. It is authoritative, it is complete, and it is infallible. And so we should have a great respect for the Word of God. Now, as we conclude our lesson today, I want us to understand that studying God's Word, seriously, studying God's Word requires some things from me. Studying God's Word requires me to make time for Him. Can you imagine, and I know that this is definitely not what happened, but as an illustration, can you imagine someone going to Jesus and saying, "I need you." And Him saying, "You know, I just don't have time for you." Can you imagine someone needing Him to go to the cross in the way that He did? And Him saying, "You know what, I just don't have time." Now, that's a hard illustration. But when we look at us, when we look at our lives today, how many times have we said, "No, God, I just don't have time for you"? We want Him to make time for us. We want Him when we need Him. But we need to understand that He needs us always. He needs us to make time for Him in our lives. Very similar to a marriage relationship. Something that I have learned is that I have to make time for my spouse. I have to make time to talk to her and to understand her, and to show her how much I love her. And in that same way, we need to make time for God. We need to make time to follow Him, to study His Word. We need to make time to pray to Him, to talk to Him. We need to make time for God in our lives. Studying God's Word seriously requires me to put in the effort to truly understand what I am reading. It's more than just reading over something and saying, okay, I'm done with my reading for today. And we need to sit down with His Word. When we have a question, seek to answer it. We have Google. You can go to the internet. We have all kinds of commentaries and books that men have written that can help us to understand the Word of God more deeply. Ask a preacher if you have a question. But try to understand. Make an effort to understand God's Word. And there are some things that we will receive if we study God's Word as well. We will receive a deeper appreciation of the sacrifices that were made on our behalf. The sacrifice, namely, of Jesus coming to this earth, suffering in the way that He did, and dying on the cross for our sins. We will gain a deeper appreciation of the sacrifices given for us. And studying God's Word will help us to grow. It will help us to grow in our knowledge and our understanding, in our obedience. It will help us to grow in our love for God, in our love for His Word, in our love for His people, the church. We do need to love one another, and we learn love from God. Studying God's Word is not one-sided by any means. We're not going to put in a lot of effort and not get anything out of it. You see, we gain in the process. Thank you for being with us today. And I hope that you'll join us once again next Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. as we dig a little deeper and as we study God's Word together. And I hope that these lessons will be an encouragement to you and in your studies. Until we meet again, may God bless your life and may He bless you in His service.